explicitly prying the time machine to activate its mystery again. What is a cult to a machine? It is the cylinder of alphabets. It is the sway of geese trance. It is footprints of every extant and extinct thing. It is fossils. It is memory and womb. It is challenge. It holds mind and indication. It is a swift summation. It is current and not so current. It resides in your breast pocket. It locks you up when you need shelter. It is resilient. A cult is metabolic. It was formed of all children, too, to sit around a clearing, to make an off-world into dawn, into performance. A cult was banned. A cult held hostage. Many celebrities of a cult. It is a kind of entranced entrance, morphed into a mini-series, into a chamber, into a sanctuary, a place tamed the augury. It is a state of mind. It is a dabbling. It is a hierarchy. It is a respite. It is full of shenanigans. It holds our attention. It is presumptuous. It is accosted with turbans and large rings. It is outside established religious cultures. It is reaction. It is antinomian. It is recursive. It is full of spells and curses. It is a metabolism. It holds sway on either logics, either or it is irrefutable, or it is irrefutable, and it is not. It is not dangerous for you. It is coming your way. As the times get harder, the occult has its day. Weak minds can handle it. Don't worry. You might walk in, you might plunge in, you might drown, you might be a weapon. You might be. You might be a weapon, as a weapon is triggered, ready to make assumption. You need have no need of relative proof. You abide in the absolute. The absolute is a mind frame. The absolute costs you. The absolute is a cost, is a cast of mind, eternalism, or nihilism. Absolute never resolves. A cult merely plays with it. A cult is my own propriety. It is shaping content as we rest here. Utopians had their revivals, and witches and herbs.
Good evening, comrades, and welcome to the March 2021 edition of Poet Radio here on WGXC. This month, I have the great privilege of having live Anne Waldman, who's in Boulder, Colorado. Many of you will know Anne's history, but let's give it a brief and a personal recap. Anne was instrumental in forming in community in the New York City poetry scene with her work at the Poetry Project in the late 60s, and went on from there to co-found the Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics at Naropa Institute, where she's been teaching ever since then, now called the Naropa University. She's the author of numerous books, and very profoundly, the Iovis Trilogy, which started to emerge in the early 90s, I believe, and then progressed into a large-scale work, which is came out as a whole in 2011 through Coffee House Press. She's editor of a couple of great anthologies, my favorite being the Out of This World anthology, which collected many works from the Poetry Project, and she also edited the Beat book, Writings from the Beat Generation. Anne has collaborated with hundreds of artists, a profound collaborator, a profound teacher, and now she continues her collaborative work with her nephew and your son. Is that right, Anne?
Yes, Devin Raja Waldman and Ambrose Bai.
And we started the program today with a recording from a very recent album. It was released in December, I believe. Psyomiki, right? That's the right pronunciation.
I think so.
Yes, okay. We'll be talking with Anne about that in a moment. And I just wanted to say that I've been living with Anne's work for a long time. She was my teacher and a major inspiration for what my life would become after getting a college degree. I was a student at the summer writing program at Naropa. And one of the really important things she communicated directly as a teacher was the pearl of wisdom that anyone who wanted to be a writer should start a magazine, which I, you know, was, it changed my life, that advice. And it was certainly sage advice. My first meditation instruction ever came from Anne Waldman and Allen Ginsberg at Naropa one summer morning. Something like that is like a truly life-altering. So I've been living with Anne's work and really living with it because when we moved to the Hudson Valley, Shiv Mirabito gave me a copy of the Manatee Humanity broadside, which has a prominent place in our household. And we live by the Manatee Humanity.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. Well, thanks to Shiv, right? It's a beautiful broadside. And yeah. I know that has come out as a book as well.
The broadside was made in Nepal, which made me very happy.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Printed there, yeah. Beautiful.
Blue on blue. And every time we're in touch with each other, you have an amazing amount of work. You always tell me, I'm doing this, 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 and this. And so why don't we get that out there in the open so people know what you're up to today, and then we'll have you read some poems and see where it goes.
Good, wonderful. Well, it's been an intense year for everyone. And got out to Boulder, which is not my full-time place of living. I'm usually here, 4 months a year with Naropa, getting the summer program together. We're doing another online version of that, Sanctuary and Apocalypse. We call it Carrier Waves. So we're lining up people for the month of June. Looks pretty good. We have some excellent students. We have a translation seminar happening tomorrow with Aaron Moray doing the Scalapino lecture, and I'm doing something with the expanded Songs of the Sons and Daughters of Buddha with Andrew Schelling. We worked on this, and then we worked last summer on more of these poems. These are some of the earliest poems by women, the Terigata, and then there's the Teragata. So the Teragata are the male mendicants. They weren't really monks and nuns then. They were not in monasteries. They were mainly forest dwellers traveling around with a little begging bowl, and that was about it, maybe some sandals if they were lucky. And these were not nuns and monks in the usual sense, in the Christian sense, in that they had, in some cases, really rich, full lives. So got back into that material, and we're presenting something in the next couple of days. But that was really important to be working on that during the pandemic and the lockdown and loss and so much suffering. They're joyful poems that are kind of strict and bare bones, but very much, looking at impermanence, looking at suffering, looking at impermanence, and so happy that they've actually found this insight through being students of the Buddha in some cases. So they go back that far. So I'll read a little bit from those. So that was very important. And then getting the June program back last summer and what we're coming up with this summer. Also been working on, ideas and solutions for saving our extraordinary Kerouac School archive, which goes back to 74. And it's not just performances and readings, as you well know, it's lectures, it's symposia, it's all kinds of, unusual stuff. And I think one of the most amazing collections of our time in this, from some perspective, this raw kind of experiment, which continues to be Naropa.
Right.
I'm sorry?
No, I was just came to mind. I was wondering, I know that there were many recordings made, but were a lot of other documents, paper documents?
Well, we have other documents, a lot of small press stuff, things that were started at the school. We have beautiful printed broadsides, and that's broadsides from the press shop.
which started as the Kavayantra, Harry Smith, the little building there where Harry lived.
Yeah.
And that continues. We had a fire, actually, so we had to come out of that this year and move the press, move the presses. Not sure when we can open up again.
Of course.
So that's still part of my DNA, which is now in my body with the Moderna shots. So, there's all this mDNA, other kinds of DNA. And Naropa has just been part of my, really part of my life through thick and thin, up and down. So I feel, real loyalty there. And, I promised Allen Ginsberg on his deathbed, rescue the archive, somehow make it continue. And it's up to date. It's up to these recent Zoom recordings and guests that we had last year and that are coming up, people like, Cedar was here recently, Cedar Saigo, Tongo Eisen Martin, probably Eileen. So it's very up to date, and it's the conversations which are really great. And the student questions are often, in a room of several hundred people, and this practice of which I began in, the poetry project, just recording as you've been doing. I mean, it means so much later on. You don't even know, what is in there that can actually be this glimmer or glimpse or hint or thread of, whole lineages and whole way of mind thoughts. And, you start connecting these things. It's very rhizomic, and it's served me, or it's not served me. It's been part of me my whole, adult life. And I started the project when I was 21 or something, and then came out here turning 30 first. So very fortunate to have been alive and working and becoming a poet from the start of some of these things, these communities that are just so precious and continue to be. And and you think of contrast that with how we're having to structure and live, and we don't know where things are immediately. The crystal ball is still cloudy, but we might be living with all kinds of COVID viruses and, in a very different sort of mediated world that's also very topsy-turvy. It's a great Sanskrit word, ulatbamsi. It's very ulatbamsi. So you have this out of whack, out of alignment. And, every day there's just something. We have to be so vigilant about this, the racism and white supremacy with this taking away of voter rights acts, and people like McConnell, et cetera. I could go off on a huge rant there. Yeah. We have to be so vigilant, and we have to be vigilant for these things we love that we want to continue to have in the world and have accessible and have people who can find this. I mean, just over the years, the countless people who've come to showed up at the Kerouac, doorstep, just, looking. I've been trying to get her for 10 years.
Yeah.
So that's going on. And then I've working, Ed Bowes, my partner, is a filmmaker, and he's shot this last summer. So it's a text called Punch in the Gut of a Star, which is a text I worked on with a younger poet named Emma Gomez, who's part Catalan. Her father's Catalan. She's a Naropa grad, and she's now doing PhD work at Cambridge in the UK. She's been working with him. She's very prominent in the film, so that's been going on. Those things take a lot of time, but it was really fun to work on this text with her. That's half in Catalan with translation, and then my text. So we were filmed reading parts of it. We'll see where it goes. That, and then a new anthology from Night Boat that's called New Weathers that'll come out of these out of the archive. And then I'm working on a Bard Kinetic is coming out from Coffee House. It's a an assemblage of poems, but also texts, some talks, lectures, interviews, and substantial. It's been delayed, but I should be getting some copy edits soon. I was in Mexico for the month of August. I have this wonderful grandchild, Cora Bayanaya, my son's child, with Natalia Gaya, who's a photographer, Mexican photographer. We met at the Casa del Lago, a festival in 2017, and I had been there in 2000 performing with Ambrose, and we went back, and she was the photographer for the program for that series, and I was a curating there, and Raul Zurita and Guillermo Gomez Pena, as well as guests from the U.S. That was, you know, incredibly exciting. And it opened up further work in Mexico, got to this Tlahuitoltepec outside Oaxaca, and worked in a school with a bunch of musicians and poets. And that was fall of 2018, I think. Natalia did a beautiful video with Ambrose on sound of our time there with this extraordinary school that goes from kindergarten through high school. And they play the this kind of banda music, this brass instrumentation, but they're, you know, going into all kinds of other stuff, and also classically trained a lot of them for the older kids. And Devin is a terrific sax player. Devin, my nephew, and he was along, and Ambrose and Natalia, and then poets and artists from Mexico, Zaziel Collins. So that was opened up this way of being part of this, right now that we're calling a group Rhizoma, which is one of my favorite words at Naropa, just constantly invoking the interconnected Pratitit Samutpada, which is the co-arising and interconnection of beings and so on. But this term out of Deleuze and Guattari, which is the tube, you know, references the tuber system and things sprouting up. And you can enter in the middle, you can enter in media race, you can always jump aboard. And there's no hierarchical goal. It's moving in this, like the tuber system, underground often.
Right, and a thousand plateaus.
So, a thousand plateaus, yeah. Amazing. So that's been, you know, that's been a helpful, especially crossing borders and sites and sanctuaries and all that, you know, where is the rhizomic activity. So that's been fantastic. Yeah. And then working with Ambrose, I was commissioned to do something for this Beat conference and did a piece in Mexico City, Stepping Back, which goes, you know, goes in back time. And then did a piece honoring John Giorno after he had passed for the Pompidou in Paris. And so we worked. I had some, you know, archival things and a reading of John that Alistair Julian provided. And then Ambrose had some photos and this and that. So it's a great melange of things. And with a kind of, I'm chanting the Prajnaparamita Sutra and doing some magic, and have had a text for him. He's a, you know, complicated, amazing figure that's still, it's very important, the work he took out of this, you know, abroad. Expansive. We traveled to India together. It was John's second trip. That was early 70s. And that was amazing. And we're seeing all the great Tibetan lamas and taking teachings. And he became, you know, really took a vow and became very dedicated. So he was a Dharma brother for sure. Dzogchen Rinpoche, one of the great lamas of the Nyingma tradition, may know of, and, you know, has published their texts and books and so on. But John dedicated his space at the down at the bunker on the Bowery for a weekly practice and hosting lamas and, you know, really being key in that world as well. And then, of course, you know, stuff he did for AIDS. I mean, he was a great infrastructure poet. Some of my favorite kinds of beings, like you, Chris. Yeah, infrastructure, it's so important. We have, you know, nobody's down on their knees begging you to be a poet and saying, here, you know, here's a room, here's a computer, here's some paper. No, no. I mean, so it's so important to give that sustenance, nourishment, whatever you can, the space, you know, space. It's basically about space. Without space, you become, can be crumb crazed. I mean, I feel part of this year has been honoring people who have passed. Hal Wilner, who was a close friend who you might know for his music and, you know, work he did with William and others. And he was working with Laurie Anderson and, you know, Marianne Faithfull, and had been to Naropa several times and so on. So a history there. When he passed April 6th, I made a short film by Noland, who's a young filmmaker and poet, a very close friend. We're working on a couple of things now. But that was evening of the day, and we had a tape of Marianne when she had been at Naropa reading a poem of mine called Hopes and Fears. Hopes and Fears, you have them. And it was so relevant to now. And she has these beautiful street shots of people, you know, since the COVID started. So we integrated those and then some stuff from the Naropa. It's just about 4 minutes. And there's things from the archive, a couple of Alan's photos, beautiful montage with Nolan. And I was providing some text and script and so on. And then the last one we did is called Arkiva Litania. And we're calling, you know, it's from the operations in Mexico City, where I'm heading in the next few days, and hope we have a couple of things lined up to work collaboratively on. It's been very hard for Ambrose to leave, and it doesn't want to. They just are getting a passport for their child. It's, you know, dangerous to travel. And of course, Natalia's. So it's interesting, these life, my life, my family, my friendships, these histories that go back, you know, in the case of Louis Warsh, we were close for 55 years. So all that to reckon and to celebrate. I mean, we've got to celebrate the existence of these, you know, people who put so much into the atmosphere. And yeah, so that's been one of the commitments. And then, you know, this new manuscript for Penguin.
It's hard to keep up with you. You're so, you know, it's impossible, right? How do you keep up with you, right?
I don't know. I'm just an activity demon, and it gets more intense the more older I get.
Yeah.
You know, more urgent and I really love working with younger artists and writers and thinkers. It's been, you know, great blessing.
And it's great that you get to engage in this, you know, cross the border, you know, your life and your family's situation has brought you there. I mean, it's so expansive and exciting, really.
Yeah.
I mean, this time it seems really important to be hyper engaged too, right? I mean, with the pandemic and the uncertainties there, getting the Naropa archive on some of it as much as possible, having it online is only going to be a great asset to the Dharma.
Yeah, and the scholars, you know, the scholars.
I mean, the recording.
But refer to it as the Jack Kerouac School Archive, because the Naropa will also have a, you know, there's a larger archive there.
I stand corrected. But the Jack Kerouac
School Archive. No, it's okay.
School
I just
archive.
Don't want everybody to think that, you know, we're folding and the school's going to be in.
Oh, I wouldn't think that. But there, online on the the Internet Archive, there are many recordings from Naropa classes and readings already. I mean, I know that was a project that you and Stephen Taylor and others had been working on, and I go back to and I've listened to a lot of those classes. The classes I was at, classes I wasn't at. I mean, you were saying before that you never know what's gonna emerge out of that. And for someone who is there, you only catch so much at the moment. But to have the documentation and go back, oh wow, I learned about that then, or I was exposed to that at that time, and it's incredible. It's incredibly valuable. We started the program with the recording that you did, the Rune recording. And that was done with Laurie Anderson, so another collaborator, recent. Why don't we move into, maybe you could say a few words about...
Sure, I'd love to.
...about those recordings. I know you have, over the years, you've put out a number of albums, like Alchemical Elegy was one. Right. I mean, the Jaguar Harmonics, I believe, is another one. And there's others. So, yeah, you're still doing that.
Well, this is my first vinyl, so it was this, that was a, you know, big deal. And of course, so many people I know don't have record players. But in any case, yes, Devin and Ambrose put our heads together and we wanted to go into record in Brooklyn. And that's when William Parker came aboard. We have more things from those sessions, and there's probably a part two in the works at some point. But Lori, she wanted something small, and I wanted her to just play. I recorded first, and then she, you know, she studied it a bit and came over to the house and recorded there, which was really sweet. And we had known each other, you know, years ago around the Nova Convention. She came to St. Mark's and presented to the Poetry Project and presented her, you know, violin work. And I've always loved her work. I knew Lou Reed, of course, before Laurie, really. So there's been a nice ongoing friendship. They're using a poem of mine for Lou that's coming up in the Tai Chi book about Lou's history with Tai Chi. So I love these rhizomic, you know, connections that go so far back.
Right, it's amazing.
And so Laurie, that felt just so heartfelt, that piece. There's a kind of bounce to it I really love. And then William played the Ngoni, which is a beautiful, you know, stringed instrument. And then Devin comes in on that with the sax at some point, and that's the Streets of the World text that's in Trickster Feminism. You know, I really loved Extinction Aria because of the rockers and then the vocal that I'm able to get, these depths of sound. And it's also this kind of apocalyptic poem called Extinction Aria, which came out in this rare edition, like a Tibetan Buddhist book, you know, with Pecha, the pages. You've seen those, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And the just the layers of Extinction Aria. And the range was very very important for me, I think, to connect in the way it, with the musicians and with the text itself, and feel that there was a way it could build. I often hear things I call modal structures. You know, these modal structures come up, little things I think about, and where there's gap or pause, or when, you know, the different range. The vocalization, the text itself, often I have to shorten text because it's just too long and intense. And that could have been a half hour piece. So it's short, maybe 12 or 14 minutes now. And that came out of the London session. So there was a session in London with Deb Googe, who's now in Thurston Moore's band. She was part of Bloody Valentine, fantastic player. And I love the piece also at the end, the long piece at the end, which also I had to reduce some of the text. But we did that together in the London studio. And pretty much that's the original, you know, the version. Maybe, you know, a couple of things I went back over. So it's really exciting to also see in my great... for my great love of collaboration, just watching how other people work. We have our tiny little home studio at McDougal. It's just basically one desk and a couple of things on top, a piano.
And that's all you need.
I mean, that's all you need.
Well, the record, which is available for download on Bandcamp, we should have mentioned that, is, you know, it's fantastic. It's great that your family has blossomed into musicians and you know, of course, drawing on your connections just makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
And these things can come together. They don't always have to be so planned out and
exactly.
Laborious. I've worked with you before and
yes,
it was very spontaneous. You know, you kind of, if you have a trust in someone, then you just
exactly.
You take their, you know, you just run with it. And you're great to work with also. And I'm sure they much valued your notions of collaboration, your methods of practices. So it works
right.
Out.
Absolutely. The text of Room comes from, I believe, Voices, Daughter of a Heart Yet to Be Born. I was traveling around these different, all these books are sort of book length poems. So I had to focus on which one of these more recent texts. Anyway.
Well, maybe now is a good time to...
read.
Yeah, well, it's great to talk with you, but I imagine the audience and myself would be really happy to hear poems. So why don't you read a little bit? We can interject yourself, or if I have comments, I will.
Do you know Sanctuary?
Sanctuary is a... Oh, no,
it's
no.
It's kind of like a zine. It's got all these... this was a photo... from the ICE detention center in Aurora, Colorado, summer before last. Amazing protests there. And Natalia took this photo. This is published by Spite and Dival. My editor there, Todd Tilleman, worked on some of these protest photographs. I got to him and did these beautiful collages. And I was sending him parts of collage and so on. But I see this as an extension of the EOVIS project. And it includes actually some pieces I had left out of the, you know, the 1,000-page version. And it felt, again, this kind of coming off the heels of Trickster Feminism, which came out in 2018, a little bit an extension of some of these ideas. And one of the inspirations was this quote from Artaud for this book: "We are not yet born. We are not yet in the world. There is not yet a world. Things have not been made. The reason for being has not yet been found." And that's something I go on. And then there's, you know, Brecht's idea of having to just keep singing, even though, you know, the end is near. And this became a work that draws on notebooks and draws on place is sort of important. Where I was during the Kavanaugh hearings, I mean, how crazy that was making me is, it was just, I had to do something. And then there's also woven in various Buddhist things. Here's a quote from Trungpa Rinpoche: "In the Hinayana, you are working with your clothes on. On the Bodhisattva path, you are working as a naked body. And in the Vajrayana, you are thrown into it naked without even your skin."
Whoa, yeah. I know.
So that's what inspires me. Connect the dots. Rigpa, sepet, insight reaching its full measure. Imagination, transparency, mercurial dakinis, robin, blazer to catch us in a blaze so memory can step across. Apocalypse, dream room, serial marriage, the coming community, Candelaria's high capitals, Huichol's higher, up in the mischief of Brujas, chain of commands, so they make a person disappear on the rim of irreparable. The poet in long Bolinas night lost his leather coat for the woman on the rafters, waving her witchy twig. Dawn, the science, unthinkable old breakdown, smoked her will, but did it rue or wail the Bedouin? Memory is a spell, body aligned in images, alliance, shelter whispers, wants really here, Phylon, crucible for you, survival tacked in defiance, now, nor never, not, no. Mueller and a hard place, voyage of dirt realms and bandy words in the mysteries, FBI, how, squawk belt, cluster, and did we think the lonely enclosure of history? Did Blue Tara come down from her perch and be Samboga Kaya double agent for all the melancholic babes? Abstracted identity collapsing into sex scandal and silence, great laugh or lapse of world swollen with generosity, a horn in her hand, truth bell in the other, and forests become labyrinths for the sport and sound of a handbell choir when you out with intelligence. Ah, herring daring do was paved with mercury retrograde for a gentleman's agreement, crossroads melting into bigger kayas, and more when Valerie sleeps or Dame Wariness encryption and tears before the crypt of Jonas Mekas, just like he stepped out for a walk, meek as a sprite with porcelain hands at rest, palms of tribute. They rise to wave ever so steady now, waving like the seaweed down under where bones of coral made mudra a blessing, a slice of silver time, a puncture, my centuries. Blood runs more slowly, hiding. Consciousness ekes out of the dead, travels so as not to be ravaged. Poetry will hide you in a serial room like Bardo's one room upon t'other, just saying it laps. And I'll jump to the end. Latin word jinx comes from the Greek name of the wryneck bird associated with the gesture, how he dies. The heart of Mantram Rudra was so pierced that he shouted, ouch. And out of Matram Rudra's utterance sprang the shout of Adrakalaya, the penetrating dagger. But Drapudi, disrobed, was still begging for his modesty. The Russians have been charged, but hey. And that was the day of the redacted version release of the Mueller report. So there's an example of, you know, in the moment response, I felt I had to be, you know, Trickster was written in the heat of protest to being out on the street and also very, you know, crafted and had a kind of symmetry in how it was organized. It opens with this long sort of dirge for Joanne Kiger. And so there's the kind of things at the back relate to things in the front. There's this sort of dance and resonance there. And this became, you know, continuing some kind of being in, you know, on the spot. And then, you know, here's the gun, anti-gun thing. There's Patty up here in the corner. Here's the Incredible Disappeared in Mexico City. This is a photo I took down there in the city. That's another version of it. And on top of this is written, an assault on the quiet continent beyond the window, flesh and rock and hunger. That's George Oppen.
And that's Bite and Dival put this out. When is that? What year? Yeah.
2020.
Oh, I have to pick that up. Looks beautiful. Yeah.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. And there's a text at the end also out of a trip going down to Clint, you know, right on the border close to El Paso, going down to El Paso for protests on the border around the children in cages and the children locked in Clint in this impenetrable building. There have been some protests with people coming from, you know, out of state to check on things, and then they just completely shut everything down. So I went with three poet friends from Boulder, and I read at the border. Tongo was there and some others, and all kinds of citizens doing, you know, extraordinary work down there. It was on this agricultural workers site, and then we did a little, you know, traveling around, talk to people and so on. But as I was writing this piece that ends this book called Truth and it's called Truth and Consequences, I was also thinking of Ed Dorn and his great epic and Slinger and so on. So there's a lot of interesting, levels. It's a road trip. We're going through, you know, driving by NORAD. We're, you know, so I'm thinking about Gunslinger, on the drive down, passing NORAD and Cheyenne Mountain, a top secret military facility inside a mountain, crossing Colorado to New Mexico through Drop City, Truth or Consequences, and into Texas. I thought of the prescient, biting brilliance of Ed Dorn's allegory. I associate Dorn with these places, these travels and encounters with the adulterated West, the imaginary West with its trappings, cliches, robber, barren history, a thousand associations, the anti-hero slinger with mind of ambiguity, hallucination. Ed was one of the most attentive, contentious, and rigorous news reality junkies I knew. It was as if he worked for a syndicate all of his own, a secret agent sniffing out corruption, his wit, reach, always razor sharp, even cruel, and he was inside the language he chose, no compromise. He knew the fix was in, but he was going to go inside his own epistemological praxis, expose hypocrisy through a magnetizing story of divide and conquer. I saw him as a raider of the lost art. So another way of acknowledging, you know, this lineage and history and brother in a way, and then it breaks into poetry and going through Truth or Consequences, some data on the host of the radio quiz show announcing that he would air the program of Truth or Consequences on the 10th anniversary from the first town that renamed itself after the show, etc. So some data there. A shady spot out by the cottonwood. Where's my dark ace? Connect the dots to hoof prints, hallucination of set of stage. Whither goest, what direction civilization? What does Claude Lévi-Strauss note in Triste Tropique? This epic, too, passes through your dreams. What have borders been, fluid or fascist? A cradle of civilization is fear. What girl did you leave behind in Juarez? The proverbial West, a cacophony of voices. Wichita, Kansas, hope of Coke vampiric enterprise. I call them out here, bastards, traitors. One brother's death is no solace. Go suck more blood beyond the grave. Opioids, Sacklers, what we have put up with as they kill us. White sperm countdown. So that's a war. Will the truth set us free? How many truths on the needle of a pin? How many consequences ravage the turf, body and mind? On the drive home, we stopped at the Black Pussycat bookshop in Truth or Consequences. A small poetry section sat on a little bookcase with a framed photo of Allen Ginsberg, a laid-back sense of community, people doing art inside, tarot reading, sipping coffee. We got a secondhand CD of Roy Orbison for the ride home. That's just a little taste of that.
It's like your own version of Fall of America.
Maybe, yeah, parts of it.
Section of Fall of America. But see, I mean, I should tell listeners that I'm speaking with Anne via FaceTime. So earlier she was showing me the book, and it's very color photos. It's collage. It's not your ordinary book. And trickster feminism also makes use of some graphics and I think in an effective way. And that book is, I mean, maybe we should just talk about it for a moment.
Yeah, I'm going to read from.
Okay, good. Because it's such a potent range of touchstones in that book. And I have to admit that it wasn't what I expected it was going to be at all, because of, it was it's multi-formal. It has it has prose, it has poetry.
Right.
And it's demanding reading. It's not an easy, it's not an easy book to read. And I always feel that way. The harder the book is, the more likely I'm going to get something out of it. So it was very, I don't know, I felt radical and dense and challenging, not just some sort of diatribe. Which is a more effective way to approach, protest and transformation.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Thank you for that. Yeah, this was an adventure, and I had various methods that I was kind of pursuing, like, the de Beauvoir mashup, pieces like that. I felt I had to ingest, go back through some of my suffragette history. I wanted to invoke these voices. I also wanted to go, there was a New York Times review. I have a line in the, towards the end, poem towards the end about Hecate, and I'm not, and it's one continuous work. I consider this book, even with its pieces, but Hecate and some kind of encounter on the streets of New York. And the reviewer took issue with that how could you meet Hecate on the streets of New York? I mean, I meet Hecate every day.
How could you?
How could you? Come to my part of town. It had this urgency, but it was also thinking through, thinking through, drawing on these different timelines and different ways to, I was trying to interpret everything that's going on. So I'm not sure if you want to, for example, the piece with the title from Aimé Césaire, Strangling Me With Your Lasso of Stars, this was relating to the sense of the border and the immigrant and people coming over and, difficult histories and stories there. And of course you hear them when you're in Mexico. And then there's this little list at the end inspired by Amiel Alcala, this questions for citizens. When was the Federal Reserve created and by whom? Who was second in command to Jefferson Davis and considered the brains of the Confederacy? What was the primary material factor in British sea domination? What was Ezra Pound right about? And how many things don't make sense about the Bering Straits theory of migration? What might that mean? What was Black Friday? What was the Cat and Mouse Act? Who funded the Confederacy and why? Do you think people employed by the U.S. government are capable of creating Al-Qaeda? What does term false flag mean? Where was Suha Bishara imprisoned? Why was she imprisoned? Who is she? Who kidnapped Mordecai Vanunu? When did this happen? Who is Mordecai Vanunu? Where was he born? Why do race and gender seem so high now on the U.S. agenda? What does an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth actually mean? What is the origin of this formula? What are we talking about? What is the BIE movement and who invented it? Who were the silent sentinels? What was Gertrude Stein wrong about? How many immigrants are in U.S. detention centers on any given day? What are the token kids? What are jellyfish babies? And so the poem is actually in two columns. It's a little hard to read. If you we could read it together. But anyway, I could jump a little back and forth. Strangling me with your lasso of stars, night, the immigrant. So if you want to read the left side, and I could jump in on the right, that might be fun.
All right, we'll give it a go.
And you keep reading the line that's aligned with, as you see. Okay.
Night, the immigrant.
Obstacles, stab of reason, no language you understand.
Words were totems.
Arable, telepathic.
Words were spells, were beasts.
What is authority, tiny, fragile human?
Day slowing down.
Authority pitted.
Against the mode of survival.
Against tiny, fragile human. Pity, fragile human.
Stars are oscillating. Stars are fields.
The words are ambiguous.
Waves of probability.
Waves of closure. Words of closure.
Words are mistakes.
A necklace, a lasso, a rope, a trap,
are pleas. Ask favors.
Link zones represent a field of meanings.
Stuff of Max Planck's constant.
Animal in my future.
Probable chronography.
Conclusion is a starship, matrix of escape.
Stuff of reason. Floods
you
and famines.
In a pitch.
Strafing.
Not a meaning. Whoa, a world.
Ache of the day. Culture of helicopter.
Stop, senora.
Haunted.
You would never sleep.
Sound is a menace.
Doctors lose.
Take the light.
Never sleep.
Stop the search.
And razor wire.
Aimless. Don't make trouble. Hiding as a specter.
A detonating device.
What is it?
Sit below on 27th Street.
Your woman shadow.
A
knife.
Robot detonates a box at 3 a.m. A robot detonates a box at 3 a.m.
Swords were clipped.
Amber alert.
Words were missing.
Stay away from windows.
Words are knives.
Shattering glass. Perpetrator on loose.
Know another language.
You can live vertically.
Then water.
And create sound.
Then drowning.
False cybernetics.
Then drowned child.
A world after Darwin.
The words were continuity.
You can hide. You can blend in.
Guns and keys. Clay. Rope.
Keeper of herds.
And cages.
Path of appetite.
The man with these things never stops.
Yearning.
Hounding.
Cavalry at riverbanks. Detonating devices.
A refugee. A spectator.
A flaneur.
Come to Balzac's Paris. Or fourth dimension. Robespierre.
You can never live the high-pitched urbanity.
Come to skyscrapers.
Fever and money.
Stack up here.
Strangers, some shelter.
Then,
among strangers, some shelter.
Then
among
disappear.
Or nights on the street.
The words were ruses.
The words were trying.
Never let you sleep.
Trying to be sanctuary.
They have your number.
Hide again, telling you.
Coming to get you.
Words for victims. Coming to get you.
The Scandinavian Open.
To identify what is wild.
To close down.
Your own ethnography.
To hunker down.
Lend your identity.
Everyone is a dossier.
Canoe, a risk.
The stars are projections.
Fetishize. Hunger.
Shelter is post-cultural.
Take you away.
Come up from south. Come
words
up this way.
Citizens.
A better
words
life.
As one writes to reveal them.
A leader was opening.
Map fails.
Then all shut down.
Penchant for motive.
A new dream.
Intense light greets you.
Beyond borders.
Out of nothing.
No expectations.
Migrant celebrity.
Take you in.
You might die.
Inner writing.
Stars to guide you.
Drives an old woman at twilight.
Place to die, to reminiscence.
Words design pursuit. Welcome their collapse.
You might be embraced.
Then twilight, it's slippery.
You might have no, and you might have to run.
Then night
under
again.
Under a gun.
May art never be forbidden.
Play with dice.
May all escape
another
their tormentors.
Woman.
Words are slippery.
And another.
Crossing to safety.
Weird sisters.
Waiting in front of you, night again.
Sounds like crows.
Waiting, a bomb in your closet. Look up.
Break hard.
Abstract stars, more pitiless.
And break hard.
Don't notice you.
Words could be travelers.
Words are pushing.
Could be gentler.
And break hard.
And their sound.
See, then you go into this small typeface.
Yeah.
Parenthetically, like bracketed statement, what is Black Friday? What was Ezra Pound, right? Et cetera, et cetera. You read this section before.
Yeah, I read that section.
Well, that was good. Fun, and I certainly didn't expect to be doing a spontaneous performance. I hope it came out all right in the recording.
I was messing it up a bit.
No, that was good.
I'll do one more from the piece Denouement, because it has this. Just it's in sections, these short prose sections, and there's one from the woman's march, that first one, and it jumps to jumps around a lot. But Denouement, it opens with the famous Stein, patriarchal poetry might be withstood, patriarchal poetry at peace, patriarchal poetry might be withstood. Patriarchal poetry at peace. Patriarchal poetry apiece. Patriarchal poetry in peace. Patriarchal poetry in pieces. And the day would be proud of itself, going on as if it hadn't already collapsed, had not been destroyed, riven, all the people mad and metabolically downcast. It's around the eyes. It's around the hearts. The city was reeling. People were coming out to the street in the way they wanted to see where the big guy lived and boasted so as to mock the event. It wasn't over. It wasn't going to rest. The guy was not real as the days, the year, the century, the epic shared was not real. The tribulation he ensued was not real, but it was that affect that mattered. What would suffer? It was the warmest year on record, as if that wasn't enough to make some citizens pause and pausing resist, and if resisting insist on being heard and calibrated so that measures were taken round the clock, ice caps photographed melting and all the rest, a pole away from accountability. How ugly would it go? Resistance, ward off, deflect, exercise, defy apotropaic experiments to shift tone and danger, apo away, trepane to turn, make the day an amulet. And there were women everywhere across the land, children women and girl women and they women and fluid women and men who were women and boy women and women from the past on the tongues of mind and ear and images of women everywhere, ancestor women out on the streets and every woman a woman that day, and everyone woman that day. I am woman, they said, and it had already happened, if you stopped to think, winning in maenad heaven. But could earthly heart hold? The day said, I am a woman. The day got up and walked this far, then paused to take stock. It was the last chance to be observant and cry and stomp and take stock. What worth if not be accountable? It would be theater, a spectacle, come pay, or come lie down in fluid bosom of woe, mankind. Remember the kabuki you saw imitating resolution between a sword and a fox, a country and its honor, how things and animals become agents of plot and resolve, last straws of honor, sword resists now broken on its back, wild animal comes in peace, new maps, treaties, synapse, and blue of sky, midnight blue was involved and invoked in the shroud that draped the mobster's chair, where he sat timelessly waiting for the play to begin. He was temporarily on pause, a mechanism that played to its own tune of false entitlement, fake rhythm not in tune with the spheres, but kicks in. We were it, played upon, blink of demon eye oscillating over doomed electorate, and we were becoming shroud of gray, rough, woof, signals collapse of silken worlds now static, unravel, will reboot, silky, damp, dark of the labyrinth, going down. Maybe one could still supplicate, take back founding myth of America's evil of the feminine. And then it morphs into, you know, this mantra, om man be gone, om man be gone, om khan be gone. So there's sort of accounts of these events, calling out myself, waking up myself to what's going on, try to respond through, you know, a sense of what mantra is. Mantra is not necessarily any, you know, solid meaning. It's not nonsense syllables or whatever, but it's invoking certain energies, and there's ways that we can think about that. But and also calling it out, the way I've felt called out by poetry over the years, and certain people in my pantheon and in, you know, the greater pantheon, and watching so many pass through, from Diane de Prima to McClure to Lawrence recently to, you know, some of the people we've already mentioned. So that way, I don't necessarily see that inside protest, that level of poetry, certain levels of poetry, wanting to draw on the power of our language. I mean, we go to poetry for the history. We go to poetry for just about everything. And it's the oldest use of the oldest religion, the oldest, you know, spiritual path. We've been living in this insane reality with the debasement of language. It's just been impossible. You feel like your head's on fire, your ears are on fire. And then we're also going through this apocalyptic weather situation. I mean, the fires out here in Colorado. And we had for nights this blood red moon from the fires and the smoke nearby. And they were starting to leap the continent, you know, leap the divide, the one of the Cameron fire. There were warnings about getting your act together here in Boulder, you know, getting packed for 6 days that you might have to get out of town. The air was thick with this stuff. And then there was a magenta sun. So you had the blood red moon and the magenta sun.
Yeah. It's apocalyptic.
All I want to do is go to Mexico and be with my child.
Yeah, my grandchild.
Cora Bayanaya, born at the equinox. You know, she's Persephone coming up from below to bring light to the world.
It was so fantastic to hear you read from Trickster Feminism. It's been great to have you on the program, Anne. It's a dream come true, actually. I thought it might be mythic, and it isn't at all what I imagined, because I figured we would be sitting across a table from each other here, across the continent from each other, living through this crazy time. We're all doing the best we can, and it's yes, great. Thank you so much for making it.
Thank you for all the work you're doing, and carry on. We continue.
If you want to, we can maybe end the program quickly. If there's something else you have the book in your hands, we could
Let me see the songs of the Buddha.
Great. That would be great.
Maybe I'll read two of them. There's one on, they're very short.
Remind everybody, they've been listening to Anne Waldman on Poet Radio and WGXC.
Let me go to first this one. This is one of the monks, so-called sons of the Buddha poems. Mahakala speaks. This lady who cremates the dead, black as a crow, she takes an old corpse and breaks off a thigh bone, takes an old corpse and breaks off a forearm, cracks an old skull and sets it out like a bowl of milk for me to look at. Witless brain, don't you get it? Whatever you do just ends up here. Get finished with karma, finished with rebirth. No more bones of mine on the slag heap. And then the one that closes the book is Sisupakala speaks with Mara. Sisupakala was sure of herself, her senses pure, her perception clear. She drank life's elixir, a sweet fluid, sustaining, that replenished her mind. And so Mara is the tempter. The temptation comes always. Mara interrupts, don't forget where you have been before, those lives you led in bittersweet realms, animals, demons, pretas, your friends, companions. Think about it, long for it, he whispers in her ear. Yearn again for the Kama Loka and the seductive beauty of the dark gods who rule in shadow, and the blissed out gods who rule by day. They'll take you, caress your naked body. And Sisupakala speaks, stop, Mara. Don't you know those gods go from birth to death again, become this again, become that? You know the Kama Loka stinks with lust. I tell you, the world is blazing. The whole world's in flames. I tell you, it's flared up. The world is shaken. Your words are shaken. The whole world's ablaze.